You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Some mornings you just wake up and you think, this is a beautiful day. I mean, it's not even all that sunny out yet, but for some reason, and I think a lot of you would agree with this, today's just it's a beautiful, beautiful day. I mean, it's going to be warm outside, and it's a weekend day, and we're going to get to spend the next 3 hours together. I'm not sure why else I feel like it's so sensational, but I just feel like at this moment, now, things are really in good standing in the world, and I think that most listening would agree. Oh, right, the Mets, they won their first game yesterday. Should have probably swept the doubleheader, but that's nice. The Mets, you know, splitting a doubleheader, very nice. Milwaukee with a good win last night makes, you know, people happy. Watching Atlanta lose, Trae Young lose, makes people happy. So I think you're going to get a lot of that. Yankees lose, game that they, the bats again, right, three runs, none of them earned, so... Offensively, Yankees not good. Herman, not good. I don't like the Yankees. You know what it is? I know what it is. An all-important Game 7. The Islanders losing Game 7 to Tampa last night. A storm was brewing last night. Now, let's be serious about this for a moment. An 800-919-3776. For all you, you never talk hockey, we're leading the show with hockey. We're going to talk a lot of hockey today. Get the pulse of the Islanders fan today, if you're willing to call. Now, a couple things. Firstly, it was a great run. Being sincere, being honest, a phenomenal run. This was a team that was underdog in the first series, underdog in the second series, underdog in the third series, took, I think it's fair to say, the best team in hockey to a Game 7. It was neck and neck. The Islanders had chances, hit the post, Bevilier did. But what haunts them in the end... Couple things. Firstly, offensively, they are just not one of the better teams in the NHL. They struggle offensively, and you could say it's not true. They look how many goals they scored. In the biggest moments of this series, they did not score. Game 5 on the road, they were humiliated. They could not score. Game 7 on the road, they lose 1-0. And to make matters worse, and see, if you're an Islanders fan this morning, I would imagine you feel two separate ways. You feel, what a run, right? I mean, no one expected this. What a run. What a phenomenal run. But I don't know. Is that really how you feel this morning? I would be more inclined to be angry and frustrated and just upset at what happened because you were right there. And I say this all the time. You never know when you're going to go back. I mean, the Islanders are a good team. And the Islanders are well-coached and well-run and have some young talent. But would you be surprised if the Islanders don't go back to a conference finals for the next 10, 15, 20 years? No, you would not be. They could have easily lost that first-round series. They could have easily lost that second-round series. And, of course, they do lose in the, I can't even say Eastern Conference semifinals, but the semifinals. But what would make me so angry, and Varlamov was really, really good, really good last night. But Tampa was the better team. But what would make me so angry is the power play was not good the entirety of this series. I think they were, what, 1 of 17 in this series? But to allow the goal, for Tampa to score a shorthanded goal on you, on what was a beautiful pass for the corner, and then Gord is wide open in front. He rips it past Varlamov, and that's how you lose, as you're shorthanded? It's bad enough that your power play can't put a goal on the board. Now you have to make matters worse and lose the game for your team, and it stinks. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I'm sure you have that feeling this morning of, we played hard. We were competitive. We gave Tampa all they could handle. But you know what? The Rangers did that in 2014. The Rangers did that in 2015. And they're not getting any celebration from it. You look back, you're like, that was a nice run. This was a nice run. It was a really nice run. So you can take one of two tacks right now. You can take the tact of, boy, we were so close and we'll do it again next year. And we were right there. And you should be excited. And you should love what this team brought to the table. Or you could take the tact of, we had a golden opportunity and we let it get away. A golden opportunity. Barzal with a wide-open net with 5 minutes to go. I mean, wide open. He's on the side. He's right outside of the crease, and he whiffs on a shot. Or you could take the tact of, listen, Tampa's just a better team. They're just a better team. You know, in 2015, when the Rangers won Game 7 at the Garden, lost 2-0, there was no celebrations. There was no parades. So at the end of the day, yeah, it was a great run. But at the end of the day, you came up short in the biggest moment. So I don't know what tack you want to take. It was a great end to the Coliseum. The thing is, you looked at last night and you said to yourself, this almost feels like the Stanley Cup final. Now, I know that and Montreal somehow is still standing, and they were the fourth seed in their division, and the Islanders are the fourth seed in their division. But you heard Matt Barzal after the game weeping about what this meant. And Barry Trotz said after the game, and this is what's so difficult, it's wonderful and difficult about sports. Right after the game, Barry Trotz says, this team, this unit, the guys in this locker room right now will never be together again. Ever, ever, ever. That's a shot to the gut, right? The Andy Greens of the world. You don't know what's going to happen with him. You don't know what's going to happen with a bunch of these guys. Is Varlamov going to be back on this team, right? I mean, there's an expansion team. Seattle's going to come and pillage around some of the better teams. So you will never see that grouping again on the ice for the Islanders. And it was a phenomenal run. And this is what makes sports so phenomenal and so painful and so difficult and so emotional is this. Because it plays at your heartstrings. And this is why it's the best. And this is why you deal with all the player disputes and the Kyrie Irving with the sage and I don't really love basketball and I don't really need basketball because of this. Because when it's right, when it's great, it's this. And it makes you feel emotional, and it makes you feel excited, and it makes you feel miserable, and it makes you lose sleep, and it makes you feel like you're $1 million. That's why. This is why. This is what sports is. This is why I do what I do. This is why you care about your teams. This. And people say, why do you care so much? Because of this. Because it's great. But this morning, if you're an Islanders fan, you got to be sick to your stomach. You got to be thrilled. You got to be proud. And you got to be sick. And any in any order. Well, you could be livid about it. I mean, you lost the game. And Tampa was the better team last night. I think for the series, I think Tampa was a little bit of the better team. And I think Tampa is the better team. But you could have won it. I mean, you hit the post. Bevilier, right on that power play, after Tampa scores the shorty, Islanders had a golden opportunity. Bevilier deflects it off the crossbar, bounces out, don't get the goal there. Barzal, great chance. They only had 18 shots, but it felt like they had more chances. And how about Ryan McDonough, huh? I mean, do you know how old Ryan McDonough is? I looked it up after the game. Because McDonough was with the Rangers for a long time and was a terrific player. I honestly thought that McDonough was like 36. He's only 32. I thought he was the best player on the ice last night. I thought he was sensational. And for the Rangers fan, it felt great to watch one of your old legendary players play that well in that moment. But we jump off with the Islanders, 800-919-3776. I would think that you're going to get a lot more, I'm proud, I'm thrilled, it was a great run, more than you're going to get what a disappointment it was, I think. But you know what? When you have a few days to sit back and chew on this, I think you'll get more of the latter. Because you had a golden opportunity. And the thing, you never know. I mean, could the Islanders be back here Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals next year? Absolutely. The way they run, Lamoriello at the top, Trotz running things, I don't think anybody would be surprised. Would you be surprised if the Islanders were not back in the Eastern Conference Finals for 15 years? You would not. I do not think you would. The Rangers are going to be better. The Bruins are going to be better. The Flyers are going to get better. Toronto continues to improve. Now, postseason, they seem to fall apart all the time. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, these teams get better. You had a golden opportunity. You did not capitalize. So I think it's going to be more optimism, but I think there's going to be a lot of, we had a great golden opportunity, and we let it get away. Can you feel great about things? You're Game 7 Eastern Cup. Not Eastern. Game 7 semifinals. 1-0, stings. Stings bad, doesn't it? Way deep. This is like a paper cut and taking the lemon juice and pouring it right in. Right in deep into the nooks and crannies of that injury. Got a sting on a Saturday morning. Oh, yes. Thunder and some lightning. Rothenberg with you on Saturday morning, 98.7 ESPN. 10:30, we'll play Stump Rothenberg. We'll get the record out and We'll do the multiple rounds and all of it. 800-919-3776. We'll get into some baseball. Mets should have swept that doubleheader yesterday. They should have. They should have won both games. In the end, you know, you split. And I guess that's kind of where you are with the Mets right now. I mean, how good has their pitching been? The starting pitching is unbelievable. Walker gives you a gem yesterday. Peterson gives you a gem yesterday. And now you say, all right, who's on the mound today? It's DeGrom. They're starting pitching. Imagine they actually ever got healthy with their starting pitching. How good, in fact, they would be. But the bats have to heat up a little bit, right? And they can. Occasionally, they'll put up like an 8 spot. But for the most part, they win these games 2-1, 3-2, 4-3. But no, Diaz was not available yesterday. How about that, right? So Diaz comes in for a 5-out save on Wednesday. They have Thursday off, and he can't pitch at all on Friday? Very strange. So you got to figure today they're looking for, I would guess, 6 or 7 from DeGrom, depending on how many pitches he can give you. And then one inning from, I don't know, maybe Lugo probably not available today. So maybe one inning from May. Maybe. Loop, maybe. And then into Diaz you go. 800-919-3776. I want to get to the calls, but I have to do this, and we'll do it first. It's time now for Truly Hard's Play of the Game, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. What could be the Truly Hard Play of the Game?
Through the right circle on Letty, one-on-one, who forced him wide. Down the middle of Gord. Shoots and scores! Short-handed goal for Yanni Gord. Opens the scoring. Lightning have the 1-0 lead, less than 2 minutes in the period two.
And that was Chris King, as heard right here last night on 98.7 ESPN. You're right, though, Brian. When he makes the call, he's just, if the Islanders would have scored that goal, you wouldn't be able to understand what he was saying.
No, he gets all shrieky.
So. He gets shrieky, fever pitched. I don't think most people can get their voices that high.
No, definitely not.
What he did last night was just kind of a watered-down version of that on the low goal.
And they score.
And they score shorthanded variety. And that's Truly Hard Play of the Game, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer, beverage company. Please drink responsibly. 800-919-3776. Let's go back to the calls. And again, Islanders fans, I am here for you. I have a beautiful couch. I have a nice bottled water. We'll put you on the couch. We'll go through your emotions. What was it like? How are you feeling? What do you think the future holds? All of it, because that's the kind of upstanding guy I am. Janine in the car. Good morning, Janine. You're next up on 98.7.
Morning, Dave.
How you doing, Janine?
What a miserable morning.
I'm sure.
So brokenhearted about last night's loss. And if Ricky calls in, you have to be nice to him.
He's not going to call in. And let me ask you this. Why would I be nice to him after the way he's treated me throughout this run for the Islanders postseason?
Well, because you aren't being nice to him. I mean, I got to put my mom's hat on. You boys have to stop bickering.
I don't see that happening anytime soon. But, you know, forget about Rick for the moment. And I asked Rick to come on the show today, and he said no way. And there's after that painful loss, there is zero chance that he's going to come on the show today. But so walk me through it. Like, walk me through the emotions of the game with you last night. When Tampa scored shorthanded 1-0, were you broken? Did you think you were going to come back and still win the game? How were you feeling in that moment?
I was full broken. I definitely wanted to believe. They came back the game before, and I know these guys played really, really hard, but I was a little disappointed. They weren't hitting enough. Tampa outplayed them, and they deserved the win. But the Islanders, what is their future? What are we going to see next year? We got to move forward, and, what would a game look like if Anders was playing? That's a huge loss for the team. I think they did great without him, but maybe they do 10 times better with him.
Maybe. Listen, getting him back, and he's the captain of your team, and thanks for the call, Janine. He's an emotional leader. He's a terrific player. Adds a lot. Listen, Tampa's better than the Islanders. All right, you can love the Islanders. You can say you're so proud of what they did and their fight and their guile and their grit, and it's all true, and their resiliency as good as any team we've seen in sports in a long time. But Tampa's the better team. Right? You can't really argue that. G in Westchester. Good morning, G. You're on 98.7.
Dave, what a miserable morning, man. Holy cow.
Did you sleep at all, G? Not, was there any sleep from you?
No.
None?
No.
Did you
not
even
at all.
Try?
No, you know, I own a restaurant, and I left early. I was pumped. And, you know, games like this, I'm by myself. No dogs, no kids, no wife. Get out of the house because I just want to be by myself. Let me just give you a couple of breakdowns. I'm not hearing it anywhere on social media. I posted it last night. I'm not bitter, but here's the hard, cold truth. I'm going to give you 4 points. Number one, Varley was off the hook. We all know that. Here's the big one. You cannot continue to dump the puck in for the first three quarters of the game. It is a low percentage. It's a low percentage play. It's a difficult play to continue dumping the puck in. Very minimal forechecking, and we did not control the opponent's blue line. Okay, Trotz's game plan backfired. People are going to kill me for this, but he's an amazing coach. It completely backfired. We should have came out puck drop, guns blazing. F it, forget it. Game seven, put it all out there. We waited.
You don't
until
think
the
they tried to,
Jay?
But you don't think that Tampa's game plan was similar to that of the Islanders? Go out there and give everything you have and go take care of business.
No, Tampa's
a better team.
Absolutely, 100%. But they were waiting for us to dump the puck in. They were sitting back, and we don't have that type of team. Okay, we don't have a sharpshooter. Wally should have been in Game Seven. He was the only chance we had for a sharpshooter. And sit Uncle Leo. I mean, you know, I don't understand the game plan. I don't.
So you're angry with Trotz?
You know, angry is a little bit of a strong word, but I see, Trotz is an amazing coach. He got it.
Phenomenal.
Never again. Phenomenal. But Dave, he's a very conservative coach, and he loves his veteran players. Zajac never should have. He hasn't done anything, Zajac. Put Wally in. Give him a shot.
Listen, I mean, hindsight is 20/20. I don't think it's a horrendous take, but I mean, the Tampa's a better team. And it's not like the Islanders didn't have chances. You hit the crossbar. If Barzal pockets that goal from the left slot, all of a sudden you're 1-1 going to overtime maybe. You had chances, G. It's not like you were blown out of the building.
No, true, but that puck was bouncing around on Barzal. No way. I mean, take a look at that.
And no, now, I saw it was, but I mean, the net was wide open. That felt to me like that was your last best chance to tie that game.
You know what? And then this is sour grapes, but I've been watching this video. I don't think I slept last night. On that shorthanded goal, it could be me, but I think they had five men on the ice. The rule in hockey is when the man gets off the bench, the other player needs to be on the bench behind the door. And Gord was beyond the blue line. Take a look at it. That's five men on the ice.
How long is this going to take to recover from for you?
September.
Really? It's going to take months, huh?
Yeah, man. You know what? I'm a Jets fan, I'm a Met fan, and a Knicks fan. When you are a fan of four losing teams and you haven't seen anything since 86, you almost put
But the Mets are not a losing team now. You got to feel good about the Mets. You can't jump right into the Mets.
True, but championship related, you know.
Yeah, no, listen, I get it as well. I mean, I haven't been on that kind of a drought. Thanks for the call. I haven't been on that kind of a drought. I mean, I'm 10 years now with nothing, which I guess if you're Yankees, Rangers, Jets, Knicks fan is better than you have going because the Yankees are back in 2009, Giants 2012. So away we go. 800-919-3776. We continue with the Islanders calls. That you can hear the despair, and you can hear the grasping at straws. Too many men on the ice. Should have played, you know, Wahlstrom over Komarov. Like, you can hear the despair in the Islanders fan voices. How good is Tampa? I mean, the Islanders were just a step away, but how good is Tampa? They won the whole thing last year. They get Kucherov back in the postseason. You don't know if he's going to play in a Game 7. He guts it out and is able to go. And they were really good. They haven't lost two straight games in more than two full postseasons. Last time it happened was 2019. To not lose two straight games for 1 3/4 full playoff runs, just remarkable. And the thing that has to make it so stinging for the Islanders, and by the way, I cannot tell you how many texts and calls and tweets I've received of people just on cloud nine this morning. Just so happy that the Islanders are done, that they went on this run and it ended in such misery and pain. And I think that's what sports is all about, right? When your team wins, you're thrilled. When the other team loses, you're thrilled. Like, you have to have a little bit of that. I can't imagine that you honestly are a diehard Rangers fan this morning and are not walking around really happy. I would think if that's the case, you're a better person than me and all my friends that are texting me and people that are tweeting me and just every Rangers fan. Like, I think part of being a sports fan is that you feel great when the team that you dislike tremendously loses. Now, a caller before said, of all the sports teams we have in the city, right, Jets, Giants, maybe there's kind of a forced rivalry, but they play once every 4 years. There's no real rivalry there. Mets, Yankees, there's more of a rivalry because they do play, and they're both good now, or good-ish now. But is there a tremendous rivalry? No. Knicks, Nets, maybe, but it feels like this is a Knicks town, and the Nets just happen to be good now. Islanders, Rangers is a rivalry. Islanders, Rangers, there's real, I can't stand you, you can't stand me, let's bring it on. So I can't imagine that you'd be a Rangers fan today and you wouldn't be, I don't know, feeling a little bit taller, you know, feeling a little bit better, feeling like there's an edge taken away from the life that you have to wake up and lead. And I'll be honest with you, I was scared to death. Every round, it'll be like, all right, if they win, we get to talk more hockey. And, oh, okay, now round two. And it's like, all right, Tampa, I don't see a lot more defense that can stop this team from winning the cup. Like, if the Islanders win last night, you are now the favorites to win the whole thing, which I think makes it even more frustrating. Because if you win that game last night, you are now home Monday night Coliseum for a team that somehow is in the Stanley Cup Finals, but I think that you look at it and you say, we should beat. But that's done, and that's gone, and now the pain lingers. 800-919-3776. I have the caller before say, you know, just full out troll them. No, I can do both. I can express my excitement and my gratitude to Tampa and tell you that I am pleased that the Lightning won the series and also understand what it's like to be on the other side and to have that pain of having a game seven be right there ripped from your heart. I can understand both. I've been there. I've been there for the Knicks. I've been there for the Rangers. I've been there for the Giants, that moment that gets ripped away. See, the thing that gets to me is the amount of time you sacrifice. And I know, like to be a fan and say this is probably comical to, like, Rick if he's listening. I'm sure he's not. He's probably under the covers at the moment. But, yeah, as a fan, the amount of time and effort and energy and thought that you sacrifice on your teams, I mean, when the Giants are good or one of my teams is good, it's with me at every moment of every day. And then to have it taken away like this is not easy to deal with. But this is the life you live as a fanatical sports fan. And we've seen it forever. When it's good, it's great. And that's why when your team wins the whole thing, you got to go crazy. You know, when your team actually hoists the Lombardi Trophy or wins the Stanley Cup or wins the Larry O'Brien or wins the Major League Baseball Championship, when you win the World Series, I mean, that's you got to lose your mind. You got to take it to the nth degree. Not just, oh, that's nice, we won. No, all the way. Because you never know. I mean, think about it. If you're a Mets, Jets, Knicks, and Islanders fan, which I think there are, right, a lot of them, Mets, Jets, Knicks, Islanders, you haven't seen a title since 1986. You haven't seen a title. I mean, you could be 35 years old and have no understanding of what a championship actually feels like. Let's go to Jordan in Staten Island. Jordan, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. So I have a question about the Mets I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
How do you feel about Steve Cohen bringing back the black jerseys? I know that Don absolutely...
Yeah, I know that's Don's thing. I got to be honest. I don't care at all. I mean, I'm not one of these big jersey guys. I'm not one of these big, you know, oh, they're changing helmets and they're bringing back, you know, the Tampa Bay logo or any of these. I don't care. Unless there's something that I absolutely hate. Like the Red Sox wearing powder blue drives me insane. I hate that. I think it's ridiculous.
I'm actually a Red Sox fan. I hate it too.
But that's it's all like that angers me. The Mets wearing the black jersey, I really have zero caring about it. I know Donnie's passionate about it, but it does nothing for me.
Okay. I'd love to know.
Yeah, wear it, don't wear it. I don't care. I honestly don't. I think the Mets look fine. I've seen them in the black before. They wear the black fine. They wear the pinstripe fine. They wear whatever. It makes no difference to me. I'm not one of these huge, oh, I love this jersey. I hate that jersey. How could they wear that jersey? I think the Giants typically look great. I think the Jets typically look great. I think the Yankees typically look great. You know what I don't like? I don't like those Yankees hats with like the NY and in the multicolors. I don't like the pink Yankees jerseys. I don't like that. But for the most part, I'm pretty much on board with most of the things that these teams are wearing. 800-919-3776. John in Westchester. John, you're on 98.7.
Good morning, Dave. First, let me say I am a great fan of your intellect and the recognition that heavy is the head that wears the crown. But in listening to you speak this morning, it sounds like New York fandom has become a zero-sum game. Nobody wins till somebody loses. What's your thought on that?
I think that's very fair. I think that, listen, yeah. I root for my teams, right? I root for the Giants.
Right.
I root for the Rangers. I root for the Knicks. And I root for the Mets. And if my teams are not going to win, if the Mets are not going to win, I want the Yankees to not win. I want the Nationals to not win. I want the Phillies to not win. And after that, I don't really care. Whatever happens, happens. And it's the same way with the Rangers. The Rangers, my hierarchy would be, if the Rangers do not win, I cannot have the Islanders. That's number first and foremost, number one. And after that, I don't want the Flyers to win. I don't want the Capitals to win. I don't want the Penguins to win. Yeah. Yes, you're right. You're 100% right. You have teams you love, and then you have teams that you just do not want to see win the whole thing.
You are the best.
Is that bad? Am I wrong for being that?
I don't think you're wrong but I don't know that a person can keep that relative to just sports. Does that infuse and trickle into other things in life?
Like
not
what?
To be philosophical.
Like what?
Your neighbor who I don't have examples. Your neighbor who you kind of like but kind of don't like. He falls down the stairs. He breaks his ankle.
I'm not a mongrel. Okay. No. If he falls down the stairs and breaks his ankle, I'm not pleased. And I'm not looking for injury from anybody. Right? I'm not watching the Islanders last night thinking to myself, boy, if Pavelier gets hit in the head and goes out with a concussion, that'd be great news. But I want to watch them lose. Why can't I be honest, John? I don't like the Islanders. I don't want to see them succeed. I don't want to see them win the whole thing. Does that make me a bad person? It's the rival of my favorite team.
Right. No, it doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you a New York fan.
It makes me honest, is what it does. And thanks for the call. And I think therein lies the problem. I think there are some people who live in this Shangri-La nirvana where all I want to do is root for everything that New York has to offer. It's a ridiculous way. You know, it'd be the same. You think there's Islanders fans out there that when the Rangers went to Game 7 against Tampa in 2015 and took the ice, they're like, oh, go New York. Come on, Rangers, go do it. No. You think there's Islanders fans out there in 94 that are like, come on, Messier, let's go Leach. Come on, Kovalev, you could do it. Do it for the betterment of New York. No. If you love the Islanders, you hate the Rangers. And the same on the flip side. So stop it. Now, if the Islanders would win the cup, would I be happy for people that love them that I know? Absolutely. I'm sure there were Islanders fans that I'm friends with that when the Rangers won, like, we're happy for you. They're not happy it happened. We're happy for you. But don't give me this nonsense of that I shouldn't be excited that the Islanders lost. I should be. It's the biggest rival that my hockey team has. It's a team I grew up detesting in New York sports. You should. It would be weird if it was the opposite. It'd be weird if I felt upset today that the Islanders lost. That would be weird. Not sitting here reveling or reveling, as the great Ray Santiago might say. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Good morning, Andrew. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. I'm a longtime fan. I don't mean to get off the hockey page, guys.
No, Andrew. We'd love you to go wherever you'd like to go.
I appreciate that, fellas. I appreciate that. But I just want to see where you think the Yankees go if they do lose 2 out of 3 to the Sox this weekend, come the trade deadline.
The trade deadline? I mean, the trade deadline is 2 months away. You have a long way to go before you get to the trade deadline.
Right? I know, but like, what does this series say for the Yankees after long term?
I don't think it says much. I think, listen, if you lose 2 out of 3, I think you're at the point where you might kind of expect to lose 2 out of 3. You lost the first game, and you're probably going to lose one of the next two. And I think it says that this is what the Yankees are. The Yankees are not a great team, Andrew, and thanks for the call. I mean, the Yankees are they're a mediocre baseball team right now. I think a little better than mediocre. And they're starting to get healthy, although the Britain looks like he has a hamstring now. We'll get an update on him a little bit later, but didn't look good as he hobbled his way off the mound. But the Yankees are not great. And don't get fooled by a couple wins here and a couple wins there. They're not. They have glaring holes. They don't hit in the big spot. They don't have a lot of starting pitching outside of Gerrit Cole. Their bullpen, which was so good, has not been great of late. They're not an athletic team. They don't run the bases well. There's a lot of flaws. There's a lot of ailments with the Yankees right now. So am I surprised? No, would I be surprised if they lost today? Not at all. Was I surprised that Herman was not good last night? Not at all. If you're surprised, I think that's kind of on you, that you look at this club and, how could we lose this? This is what the Yankees are. 800-919-3776. Don't be surprised at all. I think get to the point where this is what you expect. But it is frustrating because they are talented. And the lineup does look better now. But, I mean, at what point does Andujar start to come up with big hits? And Frazier. I mean, all you hear for years is all this guy needs is an opportunity. Well, you've gotten your opportunity and you've stunk. You've stunk. Was it like 185 on the season? Big spot last night. Two on, nobody out, ninth inning, nothing from him. A feeble at bat again. It's old for him.
He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, we'll see what kind of success you can have. Most have failed. Some have succeeded. We've never had the double winner where you stump me in the first round of any question and in the second round of where did this guy go to college. But we'll see if you can do that today. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of the great Andrew M. Cohen, and a double sponsor also brought to you by the good folks at BetMGM Sports. Brian, you're filling in today for Ty.
I mean, to be honest,
if the questions stink, it's on you. You screened all these callers?
Yes, I did.
All right, so if it's bad, it's you know who
fault.
Gets the blame.
Yeah, it's all my fault. I remember that.
That you remember. That's a lot to live up to, though, isn't it?
Yeah, there's like one question I'm like, is he going to get this?
It's not about getting it
specifically.
It's about, do you look at it as a good question?
Oh,
do
yeah.
you look at the six people lined up and the many more behind them that have good questions?
Right now, the ones I screen, I think they're really good.
You think they're really
yeah,
good?
Yeah, they're really head scratchers here.
Okay.
So that's, I told them like no long answers. So.
All right, very good. Now, do you know your role in round two when we go rapid fire with the where did they go to college, right?
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, well, you should
be. That's something
new. So. You should be, and you're going to have to get involved because there's going to be a barrage of questions from you in that round as well.
Okay.
All right.
I'm looking forward to that.
Me the record. Give me the standings as we get ready for another edition of Stump
Rock. So from what I got over here, you're 210 and 48.
That's really good.
That is unbelievable.
That's really good. That's sensational. Some would say mind-boggling.
And apparently you went 8-0 in the lightning round last week.
The lightning round is really my wheelhouse, yeah.
Okay.
And I think I only missed maybe one or two. But let's go. Let's not waste any more time with the chit-chat and you feeling nervous and pressure, which you should. Let's get to it. Let's start out with just a guy that adores the segment, weeps over the segment, Fran in Massapequa. Good morning, Fran. You lead off Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Fran. Great.
I agree with you real quick on the Rangers, Islanders. I hate the Rangers more than anything in the world by 20 times, by 100 times. So I agree with you. I just wanted to throw it out there.
I'll take it.
All right,
and I
Dave,
think you're right.
Buddy.
I think I'm right.
Yeah, listen, if you don't hate the other team, you're not a fan. That's the way I look at it. I hate Ranger fans 50 times more than I hate the Ranger team. I despise Ranger fans. I can't even tell you how
I
bad.
Get it, Fran. Like, I totally get it. All right, let's go. Stump Rothenberg.
Appreciate the second. All right, buddy. Thanks for letting me lead off.
Of course.
All right. If you get the question easy, you can answer the second part. Who holds the record? who holds the Major League Baseball record for the most Golden Gloves by a position player, and how many?
I'm thinking Brooks Robinson, but it could be Greg Maddux. Those are the first two that jump off the plate. I think it's... Greg Maddux has a lot. I'm going to say Greg Maddux, and I think he has 18. And that'll be my final answer. Fran?
Final answer?
Yeah,
final Dave, answer. I did say by a position player, it's Brooks Robinson with 16. And after a night like last night, the Islanders
Hang on a second.
I said...
No way. What do you mean by a position? What does that mean? A position. And the pitcher is not a position?
If you can Google it, I Googled it three different times. Who holds the record for the most Golden Gloves by a position player? It's Brooks Robinson.
I don't understand what that means, a position player.
Position. First, a pitcher is not a position.
It's not a position?
It's different. No,
I think it's a terrible question. You know what? I'm gonna go to the jury right now. I'm gonna leave you on the phone. I want Brian and Mike to give me their honest assessment. I don't want you to play favorites. I just want your honest assessment. Am I right or am I wrong?
I think you're right. You said it, Brooke Robinson, under your breath anyway. So I think you got that one right.
Yeah, I think if he would have said excluding pitchers, because you can't.
Yeah, he did not say excluding pitchers, so I'll give it to you.
All right, then give me the ding. And that's 1-0. I'm clearly right. What do you mean a position player?
Sorry to hold up stump, but Brian, that's a tough look to start off with. We can't go to court.
Brian, what the hell are you doing? I mean, did you know that he was excluding pitchers?
No. He didn't tell me that. He changed the question.
Now, if he would have said not including, like, why not just say not including pitchers? Why give me this vague, you know, position player? Right?
I did not like it. He changed it on me.
Terrible. And if he had said excluding pitchers, I would have said Brooks Robinson. So I'm 1-0, and I feel vindicated that you guys agree with me, because you'd love to not agree with me. Robert in Newark. Robert, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
I'm fine, Robert. I'm a little annoyed, but I'm fine.
I got a baseball question for you.
Okay.
What current MLB manager was on deck when Hank Aaron broke the all-time home run record?
So we're thinking 74. Baker? Well, it makes sense that it would be Dusty. I'm going to say Dusty Baker, final answer.
Yeah, you got it right.
Oh, there we go. He doesn't have some, like, clarification of what on deck means, right? Like, that's actually accurate, Brian?
That's accurate, yeah. You got it right. I had to ask him twice because I was like, okay.
No, that's a fine question.
That's
and the
question.
First one would have been a fine question, too, if he wasn't excluding Greg Maddux for some unknown reason. Dave in Queens. Dave, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Yeah, Dave, like, literally, was Dusty on deck? Was he standing on the deck circle?
Right. If he wasn't actually in the on-deck circle, then I could have been wrong there.
Then you're not right. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very well done.
Thanks, bro. Thanks to Angela Cohen, by the way, and thank you, BetMGM, for their sponsorship. And let's get this down. Let's go. Brian is the man. Let's see. If he told me to phrase it this way.
Okay.
Let me tell you, the prestigious award of America, only 8 people have ever gotten it. It's called the Honorary United States Citizenship. Only 8 people have gotten it. 6 got it after they passed away. 2 people got it while they were still alive in the history of the world. 2 people. One is a man, one is a female. Brian asked me to give you the choice of you naming one. If you want to do 2, you can. You understand the question?
No, not really.
Okay. Honorary U.S. citizenship, 8 have gotten it, 6 got it after they passed, 2 have gotten it while they were living. They're passed now, but they got it while they were still alive, that prestigious award. Who are those two people? One is a male, one is a female.
And all right.
Brian said.
I'm going to say, this is tough. And I really don't know.
Well, these are legendary figures in the
world.
I'm going to
say, how about Mother Teresa?
Yes, she is and was the female who received that prestigious award while she still was alive, yes.
So does that win it then? So I'm correct. Yes?
You got it.
All right. Do you know who the male was, or do you not know?
It is Winston Churchill.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
But so I knew you were going to get one of them, so I was like, yeah, he's going to get this.
So that's 3-0.
That's 3-0, right?
We're rolling along.
Yeah.
I love it. Let's go to Jake and Caldwell. Jake, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. So I got a sports question, but I actually got it from – I was watching a Netflix show, The Long Shot, with the Curb Your Enthusiasm. Have you seen that?
No. What is it called? The Long Shot?
Okay. It's called Long Shot. It's not a show. It's a documentary.
Oh, no. He just vanished.
What happened?
I don't know, and I was looking forward to that, too. I wonder if that – so they did a documentary on – this is interesting. A guy was arrested, Brian. You should watch this if you haven't seen it, for committing a murder. Right? And somehow they proved with an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, they were taping at a Dodger Stadium. The guy was actually at the Dodgers game and could not have committed the murder. So maybe that's what he's talking about. Otherwise, I have no idea. But I'd love to hear the rest of that story.
We will never know.
Well, we might if he calls back. Let's go to Walker in Wanta. Very beautifully alliterated. Walker, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave. I'm actually in Mawa, but I'll take the alliteration.
And what did I say? I said Wanta. That's on me. I apologize.
Wanta.
It does say Mawa. It does say Mawa. Go ahead.
I have a baseball question for you.
Okay.
Specifically, the World Baseball Classic.
Oh, geez.
So far, there have been 4 World Baseball Classics, and one player has won the MVP of the World Baseball Classic twice. Can you name that player?
I think Cano won it. I think Cano won it, but did he win it twice? Is the question. I don't know. This is difficult. I think, did Stroman win it? He might have won it also. I'm not sure. I would guess one of those, but it's a good question. I really don't know. I'm going to say Robinson Cano, but I don't feel confident in that. Final answer.
Dave, Cano and Stroman both won, but the first 2 WBC were both won by Japan and Daisuke Matsuzaka.
I wouldn't have gotten that. All right. Well, good for you. Now, hold on, Walker. In Mawa. Because you have a chance to be the only person to ever win the double bonus round in Stump Rothenberg. I'll explain that in a moment, but you stay on hold. Anthony in Mayapak. Anthony, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Hey, Anthony. How you doing?
All right, I got a movie question for you.
All right.
Movie and TV.
I like movies and TV.
All right, the only African-American actor to play a police officer in New York, L.A., and Chicago.
And this is in movies and TV?
2 movies, 1 TV.
I mean, my God. Danny Glover? Who was that? What was the other guy's name? Jesse Ferguson? Because he was on Hill Street Blues, I remember. Oh, God. So those are... Is it going to be Louis Gossett? Sidney Poitier? Who's still living, by the way. I'm down between Jesse Ferguson and Danny Glover.
Okay.
I'm gonna I'm going to go Jesse Ferguson. Final answer.
Reginald Bell Johnson, Die Hard, Ghostbusters, and Family Matters.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's a brutal question. He goes back on hold, though, and he can participate in round two of Stump Rothenberg. Fran and Mattawan. Fran, you're on Stump Rothenberg. These are tough questions, Brian. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave. All right, I got a baseball and a history question.
Well, you're not going to ask two, so pick out the one you like the best and go with
it. No, it's one question.
Oh, okay.
One question. Okay. So name the player who hit the most home runs during a United States presidency. Name the player and the president.
Give me this again.
The player to hit the most home runs during a single U.S. presidency. It could be one term, could be more than one term.
I think I've heard this question before. I know Jimmy Fox is up there a lot. Because you got to think Roosevelt's probably up there. And then A-Rod's got to be up there too. But who would be the Roosevelt guy? I'm going to go A-Rod. Griffey, though. I'm going to go A-Rod during George W. Bush. Hang
That's
on a
correct.
Second. Oh, okay. I was going to really give it another thought, but there we go. Whew. My goodness. A lot of stress going on here. Brian, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? Come back. Anthony and Walker already lined up for round two. You got to come up with your round two questions. Mike as well. You can still dip your toe into the original first round of Stump Rothenberg where anything goes. 800-919-3776. These are some good questions today. Brian, you're doing a terrific job outside of the first one on 98.7 ESPN. And we continue along with Stump Rothenberg. Mike, where did you say we are as far as our record early on today?
4-2 so far.
4-2. So not terrible. Not terrible. Let's continue along. And, of course, we have round two, which is where did this guy go to college? And we'll do that in about 3 to 4 minutes. Let's go to Dwayne in New Jersey. Good morning, Dwayne. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning. Good morning, Dave. All right. This one is biological terms.
Okay.
So we have warm-blooded animals are called mammals, as we know.
Yeah.
Cold-blooded animals are called reptiles. What are birds called?
Birds aren't, they're not mammals?
They are not called mammals biologically, no. You know, I mean, a bat would be, but not the whole bird.
I know the bird is I know it's considered like dinosaur-like, but I don't think it's considered a dinosaur.
No.
Are bird? I don't know. I don't love this question. I'm going to say they're... And you won't take animals?
No, I mean, a mammal is a warm-blooded...
I mean, are you going to take a reptile then?
No, reptile is cold-blooded. This is a specific biological term strictly for birds.
I don't know. I'm gonna say they're warm-blooded reptiles then.
No, they're called AVES. AVES.
All right. I mean, we'll put you on hold for round two if you want. But I think that's a. I mean, am I wrong? Is that a good question, Brian? Really?
I thought it was a good question.
Really?
Yeah, because I thought you would get it right because of your kids. You've probably seen it in like their textbooks or something like that.
What did he say? A-Z?
A-V-E-S.
I've never heard of that.
I mean, that seems fugazi to me. I don't know. I didn't love that one. I'm kind of embarrassed for you, Brian, to be honest. Let's go to that was a bad question. Mike, you would agree that was a bad question.
Yeah, a couple of months off not working with you, it's kind of lose your screener touch, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's not make excuses for Brian. That's a terrible question.
It's a tough one.
And Brian should do better, and I expect better. Kai in Long Island. Try to bring the ship back into port here, Brian. Or Kai, or whoever you are. Go ahead, Kai.
Hey, Dave. How you doing, man?
I'm fine.
Got a baseball question
All
for
right.
you. So there are four members of the 50 home run, 20 stolen base club.
Okay.
There's 11 members of the 20 home run and 50 stolen base club. There is one player who's actually a member of both of those clubs, meaning he's had a season of 50 home runs and 20 stolen bases, and a season of 20 home runs and 50 stolen bases. Can you name the player?
I mean, Willie Mays got to be there. I wonder if Eric Davis is up there. Lou Brock, but he never, I don't think he ever hit 50. I'm going to, could it be Eric Davis? He was so good. A-Rod never did it. Luis Gonzalez? I don't think he did 20 steals. I don't think it's Sammy Sosa. Joe Morgan? It's Lou Brock. Did he get 50?
You want a hint?
No. Can't be Morgan. He never hit 50. I don't... Oh, God. I feel like I should know this. That's a good question. Bonds? This is a good question. Brady Anderson never stole 20, I don't think. I bet you I've named it. I'm down to Eric Davis, Barry Bonds. Would be my two thoughts. Oh, there's a lot of stress here. I'm going to say Eric Davis.
Sorry, Dave. You had said it right before. It was Brady Anderson.
Oh, I stink. Put him on hold. Brady Anderson. I don't think he ever stole 20 bases. That's unfortunate. All right, what, are we 4-4 in the first round?
Yes, 4-4.
Should we take one more?
I'm not a big fan of this question. I'll just be honest. Brian
is losing confidence right now.
What is happening with you? We should avoid Jason in Jersey, or we should go to Jason in Jersey? You tell me.
No, actually, go to Jason. Go to Jason.
All right. So now you feel good about that all of a sudden. Now
I thought
you,
it was
you
someone
got your
else.
Chest
That's
puffed
why.
Out. All right. Go to Jason in Jersey. We'll do that. Jason in Jersey. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking the call as
sure.
always. So my question is, in honor of the MLB All-Star Game approaching, can you tell me who was the last Baltimore Oriole to win the MLB All-Star Game MVP?
Probably. I just need a second. The last Oriole to win MVP of the All-Star Game. I think Roberto Alomar did it. Ripken did it in 2001. Miguel Tejada, I think, did it after that. I'm going to say Miguel Tejada, 2005, final answer.
You're correct, Dave.
There we go.
Miguel Tejada in 2005.
Back on track. All right, well done. And now we go with the little – so who's up for the bonus round here? Who's up for the round two of Stump Rothenberg, Brian, that has a chance to do the daily double?
Yeah, so you could get Anthony and Walker. The other one's hanged up, which is sad. But
all right, that's okay. Anthony and Mayapak to be the first ever to sweep me on Stump Rothenberg. Anthony, what's your question?
All right, Dave. Let's go with Raider defensive end Lyle Alzado.
Lyle Alzado, who also doubled as an actor. Lyle Alzado, I believe, a Brooklyn, New York product.
Yes.
I believe went to Yankton College. Yankton.
You got it, Dave.
Yes. Also an actor, Lyle Alzado. Also Jewish, I believe, Lyle Alzado. It's a good one, though. Walker in Mawa. The last remaining hope in Stump Rothenberg. Go ahead, Walker.
All right, Dave. Well, even if I don't get you on the double, this is still a very significant day in my life because okay. I've called before and I've never beaten you until now. I'm going to go with sharpshooting lefties Catino Mobley.
I believe Catino Mobley is a byproduct of the University of Rhode Island. I feel confident in that. And that will be my final answer.
Correct.
And there we go. Good player at URI, by the way. All right, Brian, you want to give me your rapid fire here?
All right, Chauncey Billups. Where did
Colorado.
He go to? Okay, Malik Rose.
Drexel.
Oh, gosh. Nazi Muhammad.
Kentucky.
Okay, how do you know this stuff?
I know stuff.
All right, Deron Williams. Or
Illinois.
That is correct. All right, 4 for 4 on my end.
Mike, do you have one last to finish off?
Samuel Dallenberg.
Seton Hall. And there we finish off the frenzy with a frenzy. Stump Rothenberg, brilliantly played. Brian, for the most part, you did a very nice job. Stump Rothenberg was brought to you by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen. Whether the issue is simple or complex, the law office of the great Andrew M. Cohen can help you achieve your needs through very careful yet very concise legal planning. Call 516-877-0595 or visit amcohenlaw.com. And it's also brought to you by the good folks at BetMGM Sports. Place your parlays, props, and future bets at the king of all sports books and get the app and do it today. I think you've been wanting this. I think you've been needing this, the Islander Nation, and that is the captain of your Islander fandom, and that, of course, is one Rick DiPietro. He's on with me and Chris Canty every weekday morning from 5 to 8 a.m. We had a lot of fun through this Islanders run. We bring him on to see his mental capacity this morning and see how he's doing and see about the future and the analysis of the game. And let's bring him in, Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm disgusted with you. Because
with me?
I didn't sleep. I mean, I'm emotionally spent.
Yeah.
I got Barzell. He's almost crying. Like, I can only imagine being
in that locker. That was crying. I think that was full on crying.
No, that was crying, but it wasn't like, listen, it's kind of cool. I mean, it's cool to cry. Messi,
I have no issue with that. I actually like it. The fact that he is brought to tears over a loss, I think is kind of great, to be honest with you.
Dude, I'll tell you what. There are, and it's funny because you ask me all the time, right? Like, you know, what are your greatest sports moments as an athlete? And it's like to think of the greatest is so much harder than to think about the worst. But I always come to like the worst moments for some reason because those are the ones I remember the most.
Of course.
And I tell you this all the time, and I know you're sick of hearing my same old stories, but it was my last game at BU. And it was, if we won that game, we were going to the Frozen Four. And we felt like, okay, if we win this game, we got a really good chance to win the championship. And I told you this yesterday. Things changed for me when Montreal won that game against Vegas. And now all of a sudden, you're going to have home ice advantage in the Stanley Cup Finals. So in that game, we ended up losing in, you know, quadruple overtime. And I'll never forget it. When I looked around the locker room, and I hadn't decided whether or not I was going to, you know, stay in school or not. So I still had the opportunity. I had 3 years left. But to see, you know, the captain of our team and our seniors, knowing that those guys were done, like this was it for them, and this team would never be the same. Like it was, you couldn't help but cry because it was like emotional. Like you couldn't deal with the fact like these guys, your brothers that you love, were going to be somewhere else and they wouldn't be back with you on the team. And I think that's what you saw from Barzell was, you know, maybe Andy Green's not with this team. Like, there's a bunch of guys on this team that probably aren't going to be there next year, and this was their opportunity.
Of course not. And Barry Trotz, I don't know if you heard him last night, but he said that in the locker room, you look around and you realize this group of guys will never be together again. And that hits you. Now, listen, I'm pleased that the Islanders lost, but I think I've played both sides of the fence here this morning. I'm enjoying the loss, but I also understand what a great season it was for them. What a phenomenal run. And how many special moments you had during the course of this run as well.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's funny because, like I told you, like emotionally going through this playoff run with, you know, beating Pittsburgh and then beating Boston and then, you know, pushing this thing all the way to Game 7, it's like I want to be upset, but it's hard to be upset because of of what this team did and how they left everything they had on the ice.
They had nothing more to give. The thing that would upset me, and I don't know if you feel like this, and I've said this numerous times today and over the years, really, you never know. Like, you were there. You were knocking on the door to get to the Stanley Cup Finals where you would have had home ice and been the favorite to win it. You don't know if you're going to get back next year. You don't know if it's going to be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years. That, to me, is what makes it so difficult. You just never know what the future lies.
Yo, Harry, I mean, we're having the same conversation right now with the NBA, right? It's like, how many years do you have it where this thing could be this wide open? Like, the fact that Vegas, everyone thought it was going to be, you know, Tampa, Vegas, Colorado. Those would be the teams that you figured would end up, you know, being in the Stanley Cup Finals. And then all of a sudden, you got the Cinderella run by Montreal, and you're sitting here going, okay, if we win somehow this Game 7, then we're hosting the Stanley Cup Finals Game 1.
Against a team that we might
be
better than? Yeah.
Like, how often does that happen? So you're right. I mean, you can't help but feel like it's a missed opportunity. But again, I mean, when I was going through some of this stuff, you know, yesterday, the fact that we were not at Game 7 was amazing, to be honest. Like, I mean, Palmieri, who was great for the first two series, he didn't have a point, Dave. Didn't have a point in this series. Pageau didn't have a point in this series. So, I mean, this team is a really good team. Good team. But they do need to add.
They need a scorer.
They badly. I mean,
they need a sniper. They do.
Let's be honest, though. If all of a sudden Panarin decides, you know what, I'm going to take the more money and I'm going to play for the Islanders, there's a very good chance this team, if you had someone like Panarin on it, is in the Stanley Cup Finals.
I think it's fair to say that. So I heard you, I guess it was the K-Show yesterday, and you've become a staple on that show, and partly, I think, because of the love affair you and Michael have for each other, which is not uncomfortable
it's
for anybody
blown,
at all.
Yep.
And you were talking about the power play. And I think heading into the game, they were 1 of 16 in the series, right? They had won last night. They were 1 of 17. And you can argue they lost the game with their power play. I mean, that's just terrible, Rick. Just awful. The only goal to be shorthanded like that, just terrible.
Well, I was more concerned that because of what happened in Game 6, that, you know, Tampa, the home team, all of a sudden now it would be the Islanders that get
called. And they got none.
So they did their job. I mean, and I give them credit because with as physical as they play, they're one of the least penalized teams in the NHL. But I think part of the problem in saying that was because they didn't really sustain any offensive zone time and their forecheck wasn't what we're used to seeing, they couldn't be as physical as they wanted to be. Because, I mean, that Tampa, you could tell from the beginning, had all four lines going. Like, even their fourth line was awesome last night. McDonough, and he was a Ranger, and I didn't love him when he was with the Rangers just because he's a Ranger.
He was great last night.
He was. That play he made on that shorthanded goal, just in general, he had one of the best games I've ever seen him play.
Yep.
But the read. Like,
when he went
just
to
tell,
the corner
like,
there?
Well, you know how they always talk about, like, okay, you know, we need that, you know, that veteran presence, you know, been there, done that, like, know what to expect. Like, he read that thing like a book, like he had already seen it happen before it happened. He's standing there, and he just, and then I'm going to have the patience to wait, and then I'm going to make the pass up. Cirelli does a good job, and, you know, you can't go 1 for 17 on the power play when you're already a little bit offensively limited compared to Tampa. And then, of course, in the history of Game 7s, there's never been a 1-0 game where the goal is a shorthanded goal. But, of course, it was last night.
So what's your mental status right now? Like, are you broken? Are you going to be lively for the show Monday, which I will not be on? Like, do you feel like you'll raise the level of your game because I'm not going to be there for the week? Like, where are you at now?
I can't even tell you where I'm at. I don't even know. I got to recuperate. I mean, it was last night, and it was a lot. I mean, that flurry was like, because I felt like if they score there, they tie that thing up. I mean, there's a good chance, you know, all of a sudden we're going to pull this thing off. Because you just, like, Tampa, I'm sure that's like, you're just letting the Islanders hang around. We were just hanging around, and Varlamov was awesome, and we were hanging around. I'm like, okay, this is how you win a Game 7. But, and then Cassie's excited because she's from Tampa.
So is she actively rooting for Tampa during the game?
She had a Tampa t-shirt on, Dave.
Oh, God.
I know.
And you're still with her, right? Like, the marriage hasn't
No, I'm
resolved.
Still with her. And she's like, she wanted to do a little adult celebrating afterwards. And I said, no, I can't.
So you couldn't do it?
No.
So really?
No, I
think this is
it.
The story of the
me.
Game 7. So let me see if I understand this now. Cassie excited. Tampa t-shirt. Lovely. Your wife. Never have you ever said, Cass, I can't. Last
Never.
Night. I can't? I won't.
Dave, she came in with just the Tampa t-shirt on. And I said, no.
I have tremendous respect for you.
How dare you?
How dare you is right.
Do I look like I'm in the mood?
Nice. Did you go to a hotel?
No, I did not go to a hotel. Uh-huh. I did not, no.
Because
no,
she was
not as crazy as you.
She was rubbing it in your face.
Yeah, well, yeah. She was rubbing everything in my face. And I had the self-restraint. I said, I'm gonna make love to a Tampa Bay Lightning fan.
Yeah.
There's no chance. No way.
Good for you.
You wouldn't respect me if I did.
You're 100% right. I can't believe she did that.
She wanted to call into the show today. She's like, if you're not going to, I'll call in. I'm like, no.
She wanted to call in.
She wanted to call into the show in glow.
She's always
I
welcome.
Said, no. I said, so people will start, but you won't be able to go to the grocery store. People will be booing you.
Yep, it's true. Wow, I can't believe. I mean, you got to promise me that this becomes a big topic of conversation on the show.
Well, this is between this and then Canty with the alpacas and everything else. It's too much.
By the way, and I gave it to you, and I have been somewhat rough this morning on the Islanders. Did I leave you alone after the game last night?
No, you were great.
I didn't text you. I didn't put out a nasty tweet because I know that internally you must be broken right now. And I wanted to leave you to your own devices, do what you need to do, and I wanted to give you a little bit of space.
Yeah, you're a real friend. Canty, I don't know what happened to him. He's changed.
He went right after you.
Yeah, he'll get his, though. He'll get his. He's probably at home with his tiny little clarinet celebrating.
He's not wrapping presents as we speak.
No, no chance.
No.
I'll tell you what. His wedding gift, I ain't wrapping it.
No, no way.
No chance. I'm going to actually put from the registry and say, please do not wrap.
Yes. It's like, would you like to pay the extra $9.99 to have it beautifully wrapped? Nope. Check the no box. Just send it in the cardboard box, please.
I'm not even going box. I want it unboxed. Just send the gift. Unwrapped, unboxed.
Just send the platter.
Yes.
Just bubble wrap platter. That's it.
Just send the KitchenAid mixer, just send it. I don't even want it wrapped, nothing,
right.
No box.
If it chips, if it's broken, I'll take the insurance out. I don't even care. You're going to miss me this week, aren't you?
Yes. That's why I called in. I wasn't going to do it. I got Hurley texting me. I was like, no, I can't. Emotionally, I can't do it. And I was like, I'm not going to have Dave for a whole week. I got to. You said your voice sounds better today.
Yeah. I'm on this heavy dose of steroids, so it's kicked in.
Yeah, by the way, I do never. And you took advantage of Mungie because he's such a nice guy. If you ever complain to me about clock integrity again, I'm going to quit the show.
Why?
Because it's 11:03 and you still haven't taken a break.
Well, yeah, Saturdays are a different animal altogether.
Oh, just that everything goes out the window?
Well, I think during the Stump Rothenberg edition. Now, did you hear Stump Rothenberg today?
I did.
All right. Who do you look at as having the most gold gloves ever? It's Greg Maddux, no?
Yeah. I mean, if that's just the question, who's got the most gold gloves? Yes.
Well, he said for a position player, but I don't understand. Like, Greg Maddux played pitcher. He played a position, no?
A pitcher is a position, yeah, but I think he meant, like, he should have said everyday player, maybe?
Maybe. But as I was brainstorming, I was like, Greg Maddux, Brooke Robinson, wouldn't that have been a perfect time to say, no, Greg Maddux doesn't count because he was a pitcher?
Yes. Yeah, well, no, that was just him being a bad guy because he wanted you to go down that road so he could tell you you were wrong.
So he was probably giddy when I was doing that. So he's now banned for a week.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, Fran in Massapequa is now banned for Stump Rothenberg for a week.
That's on Mungie, though, too. That's on the producer. I mean, he's got a no going in. Like, can we clarify what this question is?
Yeah, no, I agree. But, you know, Brian is kind of new to the segment, and he's getting his feet wet. And Ty will be back next time we do it. So, listen, have a great week without me. You probably need a week without me.
No. No.
And I will talk to you when I return from vacation.
Enjoy your vacation. Give Sherry and the kids my best, and I can't wait to have you back a week from Monday.
Keep your head up, would you?
I can't.
You got to. You got to. Stuff your face. Get ice cream. Yogurt. Do it all. Eat your face off.
Thank you, David.
I'll talk to you. That, of course, is the wonderfully talented Rick DiPietro, who, listen, I get it. He is broken. He's upset. He's hurt. And it's not easy to go through when your team loses a game like that.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.